Hi everybody, Jim Graham again, and today we're going to do a little bit of digitizing. You've already done digitizing to create your own island, and so today we're going to go fairly quickly through this and just show you a little bit more of the details around digitizing and really creating spatial data sets, vector spatial data sets. So here I've zoomed into Humboldt County and into HSU. So here is beautiful Humboldt State University nestled right up against the Redwoods. There's our field and our athletic facilities. Here's the building that I'm currently in, the Natural Resources Building, forestry right next door. And I'm going to be digitizing some of my neighborhood. You'll be doing this in your neighborhood around Humboldt County or wherever you are. So, let's dive right in. I'm going to go to my working folder. Of course, I already have something created for UTM Nat83 Zone 10 North, which is where I'll be working. And I'm going to go ahead and create a new file, a new shape file, point, and this one's going to be for trees. Now, a couple details that are extremely important when you're digitizing data. The first one is the coordinate system. We can go ahead and edit the coordinate system. That's what I'm going to do. Here's Nat83 UTM Zone 10 North. The reason I'm picking that is because that's the same as the NAEP imagery that I'm using. Okay? So there we go. And everything's fine, right? You think so. However, notice this looks a little different. It's a little bit different. I haven't had any warnings, so ARC thinks that these are in the same spatial reference, except when I go, oops, sorry, when I go to start editing, we get this error. Spatial reference does not match the data frame. Well, what happened? When I created this data frame, I just dragged the NAEP imagery into it. What's happening here is the actual two different spatial references are the same, but they have slightly different names. So I could actually continue and everything would be okay. But I'm always worried about my spatial references because if I mess up, then I'm going to have all kinds of problems down the road. So I want to just get rid of that and make sure I'm using exactly the same spatial reference that my NAEP imagery does. To do that, I go ahead and create my shape file again. I just deleted it. And now I can do an edit, but instead of going ahead and picking one from my list, I'm going to go ahead and do import. So clicking on this little earth, you can do import. I've already done this before because I just went through this a minute ago. So I can just add my NAEP imagery. And now if you notice, it looks a little different from the one that I picked before. See, there's two of them here, and they're a little different. I don't think the values are any different. Nope, just for some reason, one says custom for the authority and one says EPSG, okay, which is the European Petroleum Group Standards, Petroleum Standards Group. They standardize all of the projections and datums. So we're not really sure what's up here, but let's go ahead and make sure we're picking the same one that our NAEP imagery is in. Okay. And now we can start editing, and we don't get that error anymore. Yay! Now you can do what we've done before. We can go ahead and open the editing tools to create features. Click on tree. Now I can do some points. Now, another big point with digitize. I could sit here and go, oh, tree, tree, there's a tree, there's a tree, there's a tree there, tree there, tree there, tree there, tree there. Sure, I could do that, but how accurate am I being right now? I'm just kind of clicking, and so my accuracy is not going to be that great. If I zoom in, I can probably be much more accurate. Okay, looks like a tree, so I'll put a point there. There's another tree, so I'll put a point there. Now, the other question is how accurate can we really be? Well, each one of these pixels, is the actual data within the raster. We can't be any more accurate than what we have in the way of the raster data. And you can see that if zoomed in like this, if my trees were individual, so if I zoom back out and here's a tree, looks like it's all by itself, I can put a point and I can be pretty close to where the center of that tree is. Certainly not better than a pixel, maybe within 3 or 4 pixels. So that's as accurate as I can get. And you always want to document the accuracy you're digitizing. I can measure the width of a pixel and say, oh, this is 1 meter data, which we know from NAEP, it's 1 meter data, cool. But my accuracy is probably more 3, 4, 5 meters for where the center of that tree is. And as you saw, sometimes we have a tree nicely by itself. Sometimes we have clumps of them or they're in a row. Sometimes it's easier than others to actually identify the trees. Here we've got a nice set all by themselves, and we could very accurately digitize each of these trees. Okay, so that's pretty much it. We stop editing, save our edits. We now have a point file of trees at HSU. Obviously not all of them, I just did that kind of quickly for a demo. However, we're not really done yet. There is one more piece we need to do, and that's adding metadata to the file. So to add metadata, I'm going to go back to my tree shape file. I'm going to go ahead and go to item description. And we see that I have effectively a blank metadata file. It has, Esri has automatically added some information, which is nice, to the metadata. We could go ahead and edit it. However, when you go in and do this on your machine, you may not be seeing what I'm seeing here. And that's because we really need to also make sure that we set which metadata format we're using. Sorry, I did that kind of fast. Customize, ArcMap options, metadata. If you go in here, you will see there are some different alternatives. I use the ISO 19139 metadata implementation specification. There are others, but this is the international standard that's been adopted. It's based on FGDC, which was the old one for the United States, so it's very similar. That's the one that I use. I recommend using that one. If you go to work for an organization, you may use a different one. And Esri has changed their metadata editor quite a bit in version 10. There's now item description, which means metadata. I don't know why it's not called metadata. It's called item description. Okay, and it's going to open up an editor. And here we can click on edit, and now we can change our metadata, okay? And you really do want to put in key metadata. The problem is these metadata specifications are huge. There are hundreds of different potential fields that you could be entering. Now I like this editor because one of the things it does is it puts little red X's next to things that I'm required to enter. And it even tells you, an abstract is required. Okay, so I need to go down here and find abstract, which is red, and I need to put in some information. Trees on the HSU campus. Okay, as soon as I do that, that is no longer red, and notice the X goes away. Yay! For class, I'm just going to require those metadata fields. Here in topic category is required. Here a citation is required, but also notice there's only some elements that are required. Ooh, let's see, where is this one? At least one date is required. Dates created. Let's make that today. And our little X goes away. So we're doing good. Contacts. That would be you. Need to do a new contact. Jim Graham, HSU. Role. Originator. That'll work for now. Okay. Topics and keywords. Let's skip that. Topic categories required. Let's see. We can call this environment. Maybe biota. Okay. So if you follow the little red X's, you will see that it's not that hard to actually fill out the minimal required metadata. At least do that on every single file that you're doing. Okay. The description format version is required. The fields are the fields for your attributes. OK, okay, we'll need to enter that as well. We haven't added any attributes yet, but we're doing trees. So you might do species, you might do height of the tree. I might do its state. Is it alive, dead? What's going on with it? Is it looking sickly? So typical tree information. And I'm seeing that this is getting long, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap up here. We now have our tree data set. If you go and look at this in Microsoft Windows, you will see that there's an XML for our file. And let's do that actually. Wrong folder. Okay, here's our trees. Now, when you send this in, you're going to want to make sure you include all of these files. These all together make up the quote-unquote shapefile. Now, we do have a lock in here. That's because Esri's open. If we go ahead and close Esri, the lock should go away because it's no longer locking that file. Esri likes to lock down everything it's using. But notice we have this whole set of files. Very important. When you send this in, you send in the entire file, all of the related files. And we can do that just by right-clicking and add those to that extract. Obviously, I don't like that name. It's taking the name of the folder, so I'll just call that trees. Okay? All of these are important. This is the attribute, file with the attributes. There's our spatial reference, our spatial data. That's our metadata. And then these other files are index files and other files to make it faster to access shapefile. All of those are now in the zip file. This is what you want to go ahead and send in to us when you turn in the assignment. Or if you're creating files, like you will be probably in the future, for disseminating out to other folks, this is what you want to put on the web or send to folks. It's a zip file with everything in it. Thanks. Have a good day and have fun digital.